The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As the Gaza ceasefire enters its second day, Israel has released 90 Palestinian prisoners following the return of 3 Israeli hostages to their families. A further 4 Israeli hostages are expected to be released this week, but the future of the ceasefire remains fragile as Benjamin Netanyahu has warned that Israel is ready to resume the war if the second phase fails. I'm joined now by Israel's ambassador to Ireland, Dan Ehrlich. Ambassador, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, you will no longer have a permanent presence here. There will be a presence on ambassadorial representation from Israel itself.
Yes, we will not have a physical embassy in Ireland. We will have a non-resident ambassador, which they will be based in Israel.
Okay. Now, the reaction to the ceasefire, we've seen in Israel there is a much joy at the release of 3 hostages, but it's 3 of, what, 94?
94 are still remaining
in Gaza. A long way to go.
And we don't know their conditions. Hamas has not disclosed if they are alive, in what situation they are. And we've seen them. You mentioned that the deal is fragile, and I'll agree that it's very fragile, but because of Hamas, we've already seen yesterday, the first day of the when the agreement came into force, and they already broke it when they didn't disclose the names of the hostages that will be released. And we see them again trying to manipulate and change the agreement. So this is worrying for all of us.
Well, the delay in the names coming through, obviously people were making some decisions as to who would be released in days, and you know, the condition of people, the age of people and so on. It's understandable that there might be a slight delay, and yet we saw the reaction of Prime Minister Netanyahu was to order some sort of bombardment which took the lives of 8 people and injured many more.
One is not connected.
It seemed like a peevish thing to do.
One is not connected to the other. I'll reject that. First,
why was it not connected? Because he said, we're going to continue because Hamas
because
has
the agreement has not came into force, because Hamas was still prolonging it and not agreeing to the different conditions of the agreement. And we've seen all throughout these months, we've seen the first hostage deals that were broken by Hamas already in late November, beginning of December of last year. And we've seen since then that time and time again, they have dismissed, violated the different agreements. And it's not us, and it's not just Israel is saying that. You've seen the Americans, the current administration, who was very involved in the negotiations, say that it is up to Hamas's responsibility that there wasn't a deal until now.
It does seem, though, to me, a peevish reaction, you know, from Netanyahu. Okay, you haven't given us the names. You tell us they're coming, but since they're not coming and they're not forthcoming now, we will kill more people. And that's what happened.
No, it's not what happened. What happens is that what we are dealing with is a genocidal, suicidal, brutal, cynical organization. And they've proved that time and time again. Even I look at this horrible photo, and I'll try to describe it. This is Doron, which was released from hostage after 469 days that she was hostage, and she's surrounded by a sea of terrorists, of Hamas terrorists, and then thousands of an angry mob just looking at her until the last moment. They're using this psychological war. They're treating her like that until the last moment. You see the Red Cross agent not even trying to help her. I think this is the first time she probably has seen the Red Cross, because they have not visited the hostages since they were kidnapped.
Were they able to? That's the question.
But did the Red Cross issue any statement saying that? Did the UN issue any statement calling on access?
Are you saying Israel would have facilitated Red Cross visitations to the hostages?
It's not up to Israel. Hamas needed to do it. And the international community, we have, for the conditions of prisoners in Israel are much different than the conditions of civilian hostages that were kidnapped. The fact that even if I look at the media, when we talk about the biased media, historic hostage swap, one of the papers here in Ireland says,
that yours
this is not a hostage swap. One are terrorists, prisoners convicted in attempted murder. And these 90 prisoners that were released yesterday, and you've played the joyous moments within the in the West Bank and in Gaza. These are terrorists. These are people who, let's say, they're allegedly minor crimes because they only attempted murder. So how will the reaction in the streets of Ireland will be if 90 prisoners would have been released back into the ability of taking out terror attacks?
Are most of them not minors, underage? Are most of them not women? Isn't that the situation?
But they are still terrorists. If you look at the crimes that each of them made, these are harsh terrorism crime. This is incitement for terrorism. So these are things that also by Irish law would have been convicted.
Now, you've shown me a picture on the front of one of the tabloids. I'll show you the picture on the front of the Irish Times. And this is what Israel has done to Gaza. And it's absolutely shocking. This is like worse than the remnants of German cities after World War II.
Again, that comparison, I will reject
that
completely.
I mean, what do you see there? There isn't a building standing.
This is what Hamas has done to Gaza. And the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, said it yesterday. We need to remember who is responsible for this war. Who is this responsible for the situation that Gaza is in? This could, all of this could have been avoided, not just on October 7th, but every day since then. And I don't want to get into, I mean, for 15 months, I've been talking here to the Irish media, to Irish politicians, and I think we are so caught up in the same echo chamber of the narrative, the binary way that Ireland is seeing things. And what I ask you is to zoom out, because that understanding, we see it more and more countries, the understanding that Hamas is a shared threat that we need to fight. Understanding that as long as Hamas controls Gaza, not just Israelis are under threat, but the Palestinians in Gaza are under threat. Now, the Palestinian Authority does not want Hamas.
The criticism of Israel has been the manner of how it conducted its response to the events of October the 7th. A State Department report said Israel was losing support over its indiscriminate bombing of the Strip. And Donald Trump, in an interview with an Israeli newspaper, said Israel is losing a lot of support over its handling of the war. I think Israel made a very big mistake, said Trump, creating a very bad picture for the world. So
what
you've
we
got
know.
Two different opposing political figures in the United States saying the same thing.
We all agree that the situation in Gaza is tragic. I don't think there are questions about that. And we are working closely with the United States and with different allies to make sure that, one, the threat of Hamas is eliminated, and two, that the people of Gaza get the help and aid that they need. And we do that with that help of those important allies. There is a way to help. There is a way to be supportive and productive while still being critical. We don't dismiss that criticism. We still remind everybody that we operate under the rules of war, under the international law.
But again and again, you've told me you have Israel has no beef with the non-combatants, the ordinary women and children, and indeed men, who are not bearing arms against Israel. And yet, the decimation of their homes, the destruction of their cities, their hospitals, it's making life virtually unlivable for people. People going back to their homes will find they simply are not there. There may be bodies under the rubble. That is like, on the front of the Irish Times, it's like a doomsday picture.
Well, again, I remind you, why is this happening? How do we stop it? And all roads lead to Hamas. If they still remain in power with their cynical way, we know how embedded they are in populations. And when I see these things, I hope that the people listening understand what we're talking about, the complete infiltration of all civilian infrastructure. So that is hospitals, that is buildings, schools, mosques. There is no place that is sacred for them not to infiltrate. So you are fighting an enemy that has embedded itself in its population because they don't value their lives.
What is the moral equation where you, Israel, are prepared to take the lives of non-combatants simply because there's a Hamas representative embedded in some way? I mean, How justifiable is it to say we will kill 20 ordinary people to get one Hamas commander? Does that have any logic or any moral justification?
But again, I think what you're looking at it in a very binary, simplistic way. We operate under the rules of law and under the international law in order to make sure that all of the different targets are viewed and analyzed beforehand, because we are fighting an impossible enemy. But what you're forgetting when you say that, and you're falling into the trap of Hamas, because they already said that they're infiltrating the numbers. They already said that they don't include in the numbers all of the, they don't define them as the terrorists who were killed. We already said, and we've already seen, that they infiltrate the numbers of women and children. So all of it is cynical, and we are sitting here discussing it. Well, that's the trap that they want us to get into. But so I'm asking you to stop this. I mean, it's not a tit for tat. This is an impossible situation. The situation in Gaza is impossible for us and for the people of Gaza.
How do we stop it? Is it a war, given the massive destruction of Gaza that has taken place by Israel? Is it a war that's possible to win? Because, as you say yourself, the Hamas, they were visible there bearing guns as the hostages were being handed over to the Red Cross. It's quite clear that Israel has not effectively demolished Hamas.
I'll just
remind you. So does it mean that this is doomed from the very beginning?
But we didn't want this war. We didn't start this war. This could all have ended. And I don't think, personally, I don't think that there are any winners in a war. This has brought only tragedy and heartbreak to all of us. And we live it daily in Israel. The Palestinians in Gaza are living it. And when people here in Ireland talk about it, and I understand that the Middle East is one of the important topics on the Irish foreign affairs agenda, to a point that it's a bit disproportionate. I would think that when politicians discuss it, they don't really convey the sentiments of the public. I think people in Ireland are concerned about housing, about the cost of living, about education, about healthcare. But putting all of that aside, if you do want to be a relevant, legitimate actor in the international sphere talking about the Middle East, you need to look at the whole picture. And you need to understand Hamas' responsibility. And you need to understand that this cycle of violence, this attack after attack perpetuated by Hamas, will not end as long as the international community and countries like Ireland are not holding and condemning Hamas clearly. If I look at the program for the next government, I don't see any concrete actions. All I see is punitive measures against Israel. And you ask why we think that Ireland is so obsessed with Israel. I don't know, but we see it repeatedly. There is no mention of the Palestinian Authority.
Back to my question, though. Do you think this ceasefire is doomed, given what you've observed about Hamas being
embedded? I think that if the international community does not help us in making sure that Hamas holds their end of the agreement, then we will see what happened in the past. And it is an ongoing violation of the different agreements. So we need the international community, we need Ireland to be vocal against Hamas. This is not an equation. This is not a hostage swap. This is a very cynical situation. We would ask a country that has known terror, that has known fighting, to stand up against this.
Now, you have asked the president, Michael D. Higgins, not to make the address at the Holocaust Memorial, which is a very sad and important time for Jews all over the world, and no more so than in the state of Israel. Why do you want Michael D. Higgins to step down from that role?
I will be honest. When I was first asked about it, and I thought that it is appropriate that the highest representative of a country will be present at the only official Holocaust Memorial event in Ireland. There aren't other events here, unfortunately. In other countries in Europe, we see that there are different events in different cities. Usually the parliaments will hold a different event, but here, this is the main event. And I thought that it is appropriate for the highest representative to speak. But unfortunately, what we have seen since then is the concerns, the legitimate concerns of the Jewish community. And what we've seen, the media coverage of it shows that this is taking any focus or importance from the actual event. People forget that we need to talk about Holocaust remembrance, Holocaust education, especially in a year like this. And what I ask is for the organizers and the president, the office of the president, to reconsider this just in light of the current atmosphere.
One of the representatives of the ceremony said they didn't want a lecture from Michael D. Higgins. I don't know whether you heard that comment.
I didn't hear that comment. But again, if the presence of anybody speaking there will overshadow and overcloud the importance of the event, then this is why I ask them to reconsider. Until now, also every year, the representative of Israel, the ambassador, speaks at the event. And this year, I was not invited to speak, which is another question that I'm raising, especially at a year like this. One cannot dismiss the connection between the Holocaust and the state of Israel. And yet, as a representative of Israel, I was not invited to speak. So I am asking the organizers of the event about the decisions that they are making.
But there are people, there are Jews worldwide who would condemn the behavior of the state of Israel and yet be totally supportive of any memorial to the Holocaust, which is the darkest period in Jewish history.
But we don't dismiss criticism of Israel. Israelis have so many political opinions. You see it even within our government. You see it in the public. We're a democracy. So we don't object to the different criticism. We welcome it. So being critical of Israel doesn't mean that we should all combat together anti-Semitism.
But isn't that all that Michael D. Higgins was doing? He was condemning the actions of the state of Israel against the Palestinian people while not being anti-Semitic. That's his view. He said he's always condemned anti-Semitism.
That is his view. But if Ireland will adopt the IHRA, the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, many of the elements that we see in the rhetoric here in Ireland are banned under the IHRA definition. Again, and the IHRA definition, and we already heard voices of the opposition saying that this definition does not allow criticism of Israel. Let me say it, and I've repeatedly said it, but I'll be very clear. Criticism of Israel is not anti-Semitism. We do not say that. The definition, the IHRA, IHRA definition, is not saying that you cannot criticize Israel, but it does specify the evolution of the new anti-Semitism as we see it nowadays.
That warning from the US State Department, and it may change under a Trump State Department, but that Israel is facing major, possibly generational damage to its reputation. What do you say to that?
I say that we still see the collaboration with so many countries, and we see it not just with the United States, who has been supportive with the current administration and the future administration. We see it with so many EU countries. We've seen that people understand what we are going through, and most countries understand that there is a bigger picture, and that we are fighting a shared enemy, and there are so many things that we can do together. I am disappointed and frustrated that here in Ireland, we were not able to break this echo chamber against Israel. We were not able to break this narrative, this very binary view on a very complex situation.
The events of October the 7th were the provocation for this latest round of hostilities between Israel and Palestinians. But there is a lot of talk about a warning was given by Egypt before October the 7th, and this was ignored by your security apparatus. But there will be an inquiry in Israel, will there not?
I object to the framing that you are saying. This is a war that started on October 7th.
As I say, the provocation.
But it's not a provocation. They attacked us and they started and they continued the war.
Was that not what their intent at the time? Hamas, knowing the provocation, they hoped for a wider war in the Middle East. I mean, that is one narrative.
Yes.
But Israel did exactly what was expected of Israel.
Because we needed to protect our people, to bring them back, and to make sure that our borders are safe. And we saw that with the help of Iran, other fronts also joined in. So they didn't only sponsor Hamas, they sponsor also Hezbollah, they sponsor the Houthis, they're sponsoring incitement within the West Bank, something that is concerning also to the Palestinian Authority. But again, the war, it's a war, it's not a provocation. If you call it a provocation, it sounds like a one-day event and you are minimizing it. This is an all-out war that Hamas started knowing that their people will pay a price, and they are so genocidal and suicidal that they did this on purpose.
Getting back to that intelligence lapse, and there's no question, at the time, I remember we were talking about it, and there was rumors that something was going to happen in the West Bank. It didn't. It happened instead in Gaza, and that Israel was warned by Egypt that something was going to happen, and Israel did not pay attention. The security apparatus simply didn't believe it.
Well, there are different investigations, and we are looking into it. Yes, of course, there are different committees and questions being asked, because this is something internal that Israel is checking. We do see the rise of incitement and terror attacks in the West Bank. And unfortunately, the Irish media doesn't cover it. But we've seen terror attacks against Israelis inside of Israel about once or twice a week. In the past month, it's only increasing. Again, the Irish media doesn't report it. But we are concerned about what is going on there.
Isn't it probably the truth that it would suit Benjamin Netanyahu to continue the war? That he has not had the absolute victory over Hamas that he sought, and it was with the intervention of Donald Trump on the Blinken-Biden plan that forced a ceasefire.
I think these are just provocative questions that we're asking. I'll tell you, as an Israeli citizen, not just as an Israeli diplomat, we want to live. We want to make sure that the children, our families, can live securely. I think this is the minimum that you expect from your government. We want our hostages back. There are still 94 people there that we don't know their conditions. So what we want, I don't think it's a big ask, and I think the people of Ireland who have been through so many things understand that. We want to live. We want to make sure that our neighbors want to live more than they want to kill us. And this is such a cynical situation right now that instead of talking about that, instead about talking of how do we actually live security in our region, we are focusing on different narratives and accusations and conspiracy theories. I'm asking the people listening at home, what would you want your government to do in order to make sure that your family is safe?
Dan Ehrlich, Israeli ambassador to Ireland, currently non-resident. Ambassador, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today.